Praise God. Praise God. Well, as you're taking your seats, we welcome you back into the house of the Lord. We are blessed to have every one of you in the house today. But the Holy Spirit beat us here, as He always does. His presence is here, and we just thank you for honoring the presence of the Most High God in this place. Amen, church? Amen. Well, we are just recuperating from the wonderful week that we had, Jersey Shore for Jesus. We thank you. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Praise God who orchestrated that unity among the churches because they became the church. Amen, church? It was the church, not the churches. And really, God, we just believe, is putting His finger, as He so often does, on something in the life of our region. And one of those is to the pastors and leaders of the church. Christ has reminded us it's one church, and He is the head. Amen? So again, we're just blessed to have you back in the house today. It's been a long week of ministry for many of you. And again, we're just welcome you back into the house. We are just blessed and privileged to have a friend, a fellow pastor, a leader from Richards Bay, South Africa, Pastor Daniel Monsamba. He is the pastor of New Life Church in Richards Bay. We had the pleasure of meeting him back in, I'm guessing, 2008, possibly for the first time. Does that sound about right? It's hard to believe it was that long ago. But we really built up a relationship over the years. We've had him in the house a number of times, and we've been blessed to go to his house. Most recently, Brother Tim McDonald and I went there just in November. We had a great time with the Lord there in a number of churches there in South Africa and up in the Swaziland, and God just gave us just a great time together, and we really just are always able to reconnect. So we're just, Pastor Daniel, we are just blessed to have you in the house today, and we just want to welcome you. Would you please come forward? Would you please stand and just welcome Pastor Daniel Monsamba?
Bless you, man. Oh, wow. Thank you for the awesome, awesome welcome, Pastor Don. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, bless the Lord. I want to greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning. Sorry, Lord. I say I greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning.
Amen.
That's better. Let's do it again. I greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning.
Amen.
Is there somebody alive this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. I am from Africa. We do have lions, but I'm not the lion. I want to greet the angels of the Lord in the house, Pastor Don and his dear wife. Thank you for having me in this beautiful place. Appreciate all that's been done. And I want to greet this leadership and the saints this morning. Bring greetings from South Africa, New Life Ministries International, local churches in Richards Bay, and the leadership. My wife and my two boys send their greetings to you guys. It's a wonderful day to be alive this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We also want to thank you for releasing your leaders a few months ago in November last year, coming to South Africa. They ministered there. I remember one night Pastor Don ministered in Swaziland, and the saints were saying after that they actually seen, you were speaking on the spirit of the python spirit, and they've seen how the snake leave the sanctuary. And the church has never been the same after that night. Man, it was an awesome word, awesome word. And my prayer is that, man of God, that you will take that message to many other churches, because that's what's killing the churches. So I'm praying that you... We had Brother Tim ministering that Saturday morning. You didn't know this, but we had a number of unsaved leaders of the community in that leadership meeting. And after you ministered that morning, we had a number of unsaved people come to us and says, why don't you have these meetings like this so that we could continuously come? It's the unsaved who want to come to the church, because the church has the answer. The church has the answer. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Praise God. God is doing great things, and we appreciate so much. And today, even as we come together, each one of us in the presence of the Lord, may the Lord bless you. Amen. Praise God. How many of you are excited to be in the presence of the Lord? I was here on Monday and Tuesday last week, part of the crusade, Unity Crusade. And for me, it was a miracle on its own. And when God says in His Word, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity," the word "behold," I was explaining yesterday, means you need to gaze. You need to lock your sight on that, because not too often it happens. And I think Jersey Shore was blessed to have such a meeting. If you didn't see the lame walk, if you didn't see the blind eyes open, but the very fact the church came together in unity, that's a miracle on its own. Amen. It's the beginning of great things. And I believe Life Tree is positioned this morning for something greater. Amen. Let me get straight to the Word of God this morning. If you would turn with me to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 9. I got to Jersey Shore early hours of this morning, and I think about probably almost 12:30. And I got to bed about 1:30, something to 2 this morning. And asking the Lord, "What do you want me to share? What do you want me to release into this house?" And this is what He has given me. Amos chapter 9, and starting from verse number 11. Bible declares to us and tells us, "On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair the damages. I will raise up the ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old." My God. "That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing." And I love verse number 13. "And behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord," not an evangelist, not a pastor, not an organization. It says, "Behold, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tender of the grapes, him who sown seeks. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the ills shall follow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them." Wow. Wow. Come, let's stand to our feet for a moment. Let's stand to our feet this morning, just for a moment. Would you not raise your voice, raise up your hands to God this morning, and say, "Lord, I receive your word this morning. But more than that this morning, may your Spirit of God come and break that word this morning. May that word of God find an abiding place in our heart. May the Spirit of the Lord come and water that word this morning. And Father, even as we stand in your presence this morning, oh God, we thank you already for charging the atmosphere this morning. And I'm praying by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Mighty God and Eternal Father, this morning, as we bow in your very presence this morning, I'm thanking you in advance for what you're about to do. Master, this morning, I'm praying this morning, every diabolic spirit that have come into this house will be returned to the pit of hell. Every weapon that is fashioned against this house will not prosper. Every demonic assignment of God over this congregation, over this household of God, will not prosper. This morning, our Lord, we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God to break every yoke of bondage. And mighty God and Eternal Father, you will
set this house of God on fire. You will set it at liberty this morning. My God, every life of God this morning, every heart this morning will start to burn with the Holy Spirit inside. Lord, even though we want to shut our mouth, but because of the anointing that is in our bones, oh God, we will arise and shout it out and say that Jesus is Lord. He is the King of Kings. He's the Mighty One of Israel. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the fairest of 10,000. He has defeated death. He has robbed the grave, and he's seated at the right hand side of the Father. And this morning we are connected to the heavenlies, and therefore every demonic assignment this morning has to be cut off. Every works of the enemy, every works of the enemy, every spirit of witchcraft, Lord, this morning we clean up the atmosphere in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, this morning we stir up the house. Oh, by faith this morning we stir up the anointing in the house this morning. And I'm praying every activity of the enemy will be canceled. Every sickness of God, every spirit of depression and oppression, oh God, will leave this place this morning. And we speak, oh God, into the atmosphere. We speak into the life. Joy, peace, and happiness this morning. Laughter, oh God, over this house. Lord, the enemy will not reign and rule in this place. But Jesus himself, oh God, will reign. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, for what you're about to do. And all the children of God, put their hands in the air and give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before you take your seat, turn around to somebody and say, something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. Praise God. Well, bless the Lord. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. You mind if I step down? Nobody will backslide, right? I like close fellowship. Behold, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. What I want to speak on this morning for the next few minutes is positioning ourselves for a supernatural shift. Positioning ourselves for a supernatural shift. When we're talking about positioning, we're talking about adjusting. We're talking about correcting. We're talking about resetting. Whether it is in the mind, whether it is in the spirit, whether it's in the natural, whether it is the spiritual, it doesn't matter. But God wants the old package this morning, everything in totality, to be positioned this morning for a supernatural shift. When we're talking about a supernatural shift, it's talking about everything that we did in our own accord, in our own flesh, in our own minds, will be changed, and now God takes over. Amen. We have the natural, but we add super to it, and it becomes supernatural. Amen? Now you have to take note, and I believe this very strongly in my heart, that every single one of us have gone through or are still going through challenges in our life. Whether it is financial, whether it's relationship, whether it is health-wise, or whatever it is, every single one of us have gone through, going through. And if you didn't go through as yet, you will be going through it. Amen. If you didn't have problems at all in your life, praise God. I've come to let you know problems are coming on your way. How do I know that? Because the scripture says so. The book of Job chapter 14 and verse number 1. Job 14:1 says, a man that is born to a woman, his days are few and full of trouble.
So if the scripture says so, but it's going to happen. So if you are somebody that didn't go through problem as yet, you didn't have any heartache, you didn't have any challenges, and bless the Lord for you. But I got to let you know that it's coming. It's coming. Amen? But what happens is that whilst we are going through the struggles and this heartache, whilst we are going through those challenges in our life, what normally happens is that there are things that we cannot, you know, understand. There are things that we cannot contain, and we become, in the process, we become an emotional wreck. We're concerned about so many things. Not only our health, our finances, our relationship, our families, our children, but additional concerns. What is the government up to? What is the White House up to? What is my president up to? What is my pastor up to? What is the church up to? What is... And all these things become part of our life. It becomes to weigh so heavy on us that eventually we are raising up a nation that is so sad. A nation that is so angry. I've come to let you know this is just not an American thing, but it is a worldwide thing. Everywhere on the map you put your finger, there is problem. Every nation is going through heartache, pains, and challenges. And there's a nation that's rising up. There's nations that are rising up that are so angry. Angry. Everything we talk about is anger. We talk about the government, we're angry. We talk about our president, we're angry. We talk about business structures, we are angry. We talk about the currency, we are angry. We talk about the church, we are angry. And in the process, there's venom that is coming out of our mouth constantly. And one of the reasons that people died in the wilderness is because of murmuring. God wants us to come to a place that where you will enjoy life. That is why he said, you don't have to carry the burdens anymore. Cast your burdens upon me. Let me take care of it. While I take care of it, I have the capacity. I have the angels around me. I have all the wisdom. I have all the knowledge. I have all this. Why are you carrying the burden? What you need to do is, according to 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you live in good health, even as your soul prospers. Hey, that's a desire of any good daddy. Are you with me this morning? It's a desire of any good daddy. I want my child to be prosperous, ride the best cars, live in the best houses, eat well. I want you to make sure that you are not lying in the hospital, but you are healthy and you're well. You can enjoy the benefits. And moreover, whilst you do this, there has to be a balance that your soul also prospers. Because the Bible declares in the book of Mark 8:36, what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and yet lose his soul? So whilst we're kind of angry about everything this morning, we need to bring about a change in our lives. How do we do that? You have to take notes, sir. Whilst you are angry about things, you know, in desperation, we do stuff that is not according to the word of God, not in line with the word of God. And in the interim, what happens is that according to the word of God in the book of Joel, the Bible says the cankerworm, the locust, and the palmer worm eats out of our life. Our joy is no more there. We're no more smiling. There's no more laughter. There's no more fellowship anymore. Think about it. When last you sat with your family and had a good old joke? When last you sat with your family and really laughed about things and fell on the floor and just rolled around with your little children and so forth? When last we do that? We are so caught up in the things of this world which doesn't even concern us. Hey, listen. I can shout as all what I want to do. My president in my country, he'll do what he wants to do. The only thing I can do for him is pray. No matter how high I jump, I can put a rope around my neck. I can put a 9mm gun to my head. He's going to do what he's going to do. Hello? Not going to change. Not going to change. So why should I worry about something that I cannot change? Let me worry about what I can change and enjoy life, because I got one shot at life. One shot at life. And I'm going to make the best of it. Every day I'm going to live as though it's the last day. Hallelujah. The amazing part this morning is that God says, it's coming a time. I want to restore to you that which the cankerworm, locust, and the palm worm has eaten. The years that you lost, God wants to give back to us. And I believe we've got to be in readiness for that. You choose this day. The Bible declares to us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 19. The Bible says, I call upon the heavens and the earth to be witnesses that this day I'm laying before you a choice. A choice of life and death. A choice of good and evil. This day you choose, sir. You choose, ma'am, what you want. It's amazing. God the Father don't even make a decision for us. He says, I give you the choice. You choose whether you want to live a life that is full of blessings, or you want to live a life of curse. And he goes on to say, I want you to choose life. That's a father's heart. That's a father's heart. I want you to enjoy. I want you to enjoy life, even if you have, you know, just a bare minimum in your house. Enjoy it. So I want you to know this morning, whilst you are coming to the place where God wants you to be blessed, this is what he says. He promised through the prophet Amos. And this morning, I believe he's saying to us in Life Tree this morning, what you've gone through, I understand, the Lord says. This house is gone through ruins. It's gone through heartache. It's gone through great breaking and damaging by the enemy. But what he says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David.
Amen.
I will raise up the tabernacle of David. I will raise up the ruins. In other words, I will rebuild what was broken. You have to understand, ma'am. You have to understand, sir. This house, it doesn't belong to the pastors. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to anyone. This is the house of the Lord. And I believe this morning, the Lord will raise it up unto his glory. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the devil says. When God says, I will raise it up, he will raise it up this morning. He says, I will rebuild this temple. I will raise up the ruins. It will be just like before. You know, when there was an excitement in this house, I remember coming to this house in 2008. I know this place was packed out. Hey, I got news for you. You'll have to extend not long from now. Some guys are sitting and saying, I don't think that's going to happen. You know, we've been through too much. Hey, it's not about you. It's about God.
Amen.
It's not about how you feel. It's about how God feels. How you feel wouldn't change whether God loves you or not. God loves you irrespective. And I've come to let you know, God is not angry with you. God is not upset with you. God doesn't take out a stick to whack you. God is not mad with you. God is just madly in love with you. Amen. He's just madly in love. And so he says, I want to raise this house up. And whilst I raise this up, house up, you are now entering into another dimension. And the dimension that I'm going to take this church, I'm going to take you as an individual, I'm going to take you as a family, is that I'm going to do a supernatural shift. You see, all those times we relied upon our knowledge, we relied upon what we studied, we relied upon our certificates, we relied upon our strength, we relied upon our capacity, we relied upon how good we were. And God saying, shut your mouth, just stand aside. God has given me a prophetic word for the congregation this year. When I stood up on the eve of 2017 and I started to speak, and the word that the Lord has given the congregation, and I believe it's giving the nation, is found in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 17. 2017. Grab it in the spirit, somebody, this morning. 2 Chronicles 20:17. It says, be not afraid. Do not fight. Stand aside. In other words, take your position and watch my salvation in action. In other words, you don't have to do anything. Don't be afraid. You don't fight. You don't. The battle is not yours. This is 2017. You just stand aside. He says, watch me. Watch me. Watch me. You know when you go and start a fight with somebody in school, and you start the fight and you stand back, and your big brother comes and says, you stand one side, watch me. Our big brother Jesus Christ is about to take over here. Yeah. He's about to take over. He's about to take over. He says, stand aside and watch me. Watch me. He says, there's coming a time when you stand aside with your own ideology, with your own plans, with your own strength, with all what you have accomplished. You take all that, great, no problem. But just park one side for a while and watch me. He says, I'm going to cause a supernatural shift. Whether it is in your individual capacity, whether it is as a family unit, or whether it is in this church, it doesn't matter. There is a season coming when God is about to catapult us supernaturally to another level. Listen to me, Church of God. Some of us, we are in our work situation. We are putting every sweat, every ounce of our strength, we're putting it in work. You know you're working hard. You're putting the hours. But your boss, your supervisor, he just strolls in, cup of coffee. Hey, I want you to do that, that, and that. And he walks out. And you are working hard. I come to let you know the time is coming. The time is coming. I said the time is coming. When your supervisor will have to take the back seat, and you will be going to the front seat, and you will be walking with a coffee, and your supervisor will be listening to you. Now, you don't believe that, right? It's coming a time. There's coming a time when those people that thought they have arrived in terms of the spiritual standing, praise God for that, they look down upon you as a church that is out there. Hey, we don't even know that you exist in Jersey Shore. And God is raising Life Tree, where you'll supernaturally shift to a level where you will not be on the map of Jersey Shore only, but you will be on the global map. God have mercy. It's going to supernaturally shift you to another level. But let me say this to somebody this morning. It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. When God takes you from one level to another level, when he tells you, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. When he says, I'm going to make you your enemies your footstool, you have to take note that he will tell you in advance that I will hand you over over to you in your hands. I will hand you the enemies, your enemies. In other words, he's saying, you've already won the battle because I've won it for you, and I'll hand them over to you. But the catch catch in the whole thing is God never tells you what the journey would be like. He'll tell you you won the battle already. He'll tell you you've already gone to a place where you didn't expect to be, shifted you supernaturally. But he never tells us how our journey is going to be like. But I've come to let you know through the Spirit of the Lord and through the Word of God that your journey may not be a bed of roses. The Bible declares to us and tells us that God said to Jonathan, Jonathan, I've already given you your enemies, the Philistines, into your hands. Jonathan is excited. Hooray! We won the battle already. But Jonathan, you need to go and grab hold of the Philistines. You need to journey through and go and grab hold of the Philistines whom I've already handed over to you. And Jonathan sets out with his armor bearers and he goes. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 4, and whilst Jonathan journeyed to go and take over the enemies, the Bible says as he walked through this journey, there came a time in verse number 4, the Bible says, there were two sharp stones, one on either side of the road. One was called Bezez and the other one was called Sener. And I tried to check this out. Two stones, sharp stones, one on either side, and Jonathan has to go through it to go and get hold of his enemies. Amazingly, the both stones, Bezez and Sener, means slippery and thorny. Think about it. You got this journey, you're not going to be stable. You're going to slip and you get up. You're going to hit against thorns. It's not a comfort road. In fact, to a point whereby in verse 13 of the same chapter, you will find that the Bible actually says that Jonathan was on his hands and on his knees. In other words, Jonathan was brought down like a dog on four legs. God didn't tell him that when he gave the enemies to him. God didn't tell him you're going to be on your knees like a dog. He didn't tell him you're going to end up like a dog walking on the floor on your foes. He says, I've just given you the enemy. And I've come to let somebody know, whilst you're walking through this, your journey is not going to be a bed of roses. Having said that, but I also want to let you know that my God is a God of promise. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you shall not fear, for I am with you. He says, I will go before you. I will make every crooked path straight. I will put down every single mountain. I will cut down every brass bars. I will make sure that you are walking with me. My presence will go with you. Oh, I will walk with you. Oh, during the night there will be a cloud of fire above you. And during the day there will be a cloud that will go with you. My presence will go with you. And when my presence go with you, nobody will be able to touch you. Oh, what needs to happen? My presence will go with you. I'm taking you to another dimension, not just another level, but I'm taking you to another dimension. I'm going to supernaturally, because of your faithfulness, because you chose to live and not die, I'm going to supernaturally shift you to another level. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. Whether it is in my finances, whether it is in my relationship, whether it is in my church, it doesn't matter. I'm waiting for that supernatural shift. God is about to do something. Now, you have to take note. Due to time constraints, I'm going to go very fast. It doesn't come easy. I'm going to release two examples very, very quickly, and then I'm closing. And the first thing I see, the first example, is I see in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth speaks to us and tells us that there was a man by the name of Abimelech. He had two sons and he had his wife by the name of Naomi. And living a good life. Great life. They were living in Bethlehem and it's a house of bread. So they've been fed and great, enjoying the sunshine. And all of a sudden, famine hit the land. And as a father, he had to make a decision as to what to do with his family. That is proper of every man of God. That is proper of every good father to ensure that something. But if you are not tuned with the word of God, then the decision that you make may look good, but it's not a God decision. It may look good. All God things, good things are not God things. It may look good, but the decision you make could be detrimental to you and your family. So when the famine took place, he decides, I'm going to move out from